The Go Birds podcast is sponsored by Ashley, America's number one furniture and mattress store.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Go Birds! What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Thursday, July 23rd, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And happy Thursday. The weekend is almost here, which means we are almost officially in training camp week. That's right. A week from today, the Eagles will have practiced already. And I think they'll be practicing again today. So depending on when you're listening to this, if it's late in the day on Thursday, we could already be two practices deep into 2026 training camp. And boy, oh boy, isn't that exciting. So before Eagles news just completely overtakes us, right? Transactions every day, roster stuff. It's going to be very exciting. I mean, it's regular season. It's training camp. You know what it is. I wanted to get a chance to kind of preview three more teams that I think are teams Eagles have to worry about, right? So we did the NFC East last week, week and a half ago, whenever it was we did it. Took a look at all the teams, Cowboys, Giants, Washington, and came away from that feeling like the Cowboys are clearly the biggest competition in the NFC East for the Eagles. A bit of a gap, the Giants, then a somewhat noticeable gap, then Washington. But as we all know, the Eagles' goals for this season are higher than just winning the division. They want to go to the Super Bowl. They want to win the Super Bowl. That is what it is when you have a Super Bowl head coach and a Super Bowl quarterback and a roster that maybe not as talented on offense as they used to be, but certainly one of the more talented rosters in the league. And, you know, I don't think that's just seeing through rose-colored glasses. I think that's what the majority of lists that have been put out this season have said. So what I want to do is look at other teams in the NFC that'll be the Eagles' biggest competition to winning the NFC. And I think it's only right that we start with the Super Bowl favorite, the team that I think everybody, regardless of what division you're in, what conference you're in, even if you don't have them on the schedule, I think every team right now is asking themselves, are we as good as the Los Angeles Rams? So the Los Angeles Rams, in my opinion, were arguably the best team in the NFL last year. I think, you know, throughout it, and if you've listened to the pod during it, you know that I wasn't that big on the Seahawks. Obviously, I was wrong, but the Seahawks, in retrospect, I guess, were the most impressive team now that they actually won the Super Bowl, and it makes what they did in the regular season a little more impressive. But during the year, I thought the Rams were the most impressive team, and going into next year, I think everybody agrees they are once again the favorite to win the NFC, and I think the favorite to win the Super Bowl. And why is that? Well, today we're going to take a look at some of their strengths, some of their weaknesses, things they do well, things they're hoping to be better at, and obviously some roster additions that they made. So we'll start with some of the roster additions. And look, these two names you almost even have to say, but the fact that the Rams, who had one of the best defenses in the NFL last year, one of the best rosters in the NFL last year, one of the best teams overall in terms of just being tough to beat, went out and added Myles Garrett and Trent McDuffie and Jalen Watson, but really those first two, is pretty insane. I mean, to add Myles Garrett and Trent McDuffie, two of, man, I mean, depends on where you rank McDuffie, but two of the top 20 defensive players in the league, two of the top 15, if you really want to be kind to McDuffie, to go out and add them to a defense that was already elite is pretty insane. They are a win now team. They are an all in team. The Super Bowl is in Los Angeles this year, and they acted like it during the offseason, as really the only big loss they had was Jared Verse, who they then swapped out for Myles Garrett. So they go out this offseason, they go all in. Myles Garrett, Trent McDuffie, Jalen Watson, add three very good defensive players to what was already a very good defense. So in terms of offseason awards, if you want to say those are a thing, the Rams would probably win it. I think most teams would agree they're in the top three, if not having the best offseason of any team in the league. So in addition to that, and we'll talk more about this later on, but this one shouldn't be overlooked. They go and they add Joe Cardona, the long snapper. And when your special teams were a major problem, you need to improve them. They have gone all out to do that. And we'll talk more about the special teams a little later on. But they add a long snapper. And then in the draft, they take Ty Simpson, probably because they know they won't be drafting in the first round for a while. And then Max Clair, the tight end out of Ohio State, who grew on me as the draft process went along. They take him in the second round. Going to be a tight end heavy team. Again, something we've talked about in relation to the Eagles. They're a team that likes to go heavy. And Max Clair is a very good blocking tight end. Not a great receiving tight end yet, but it just shows they really value blocking from the tight end position. So Myles Garrett, Trent McDuffie, Jalen Watson, a quarterback in the first round and a blocking tight end in the second round. Pretty good offseason for the Rams. And to be honest, didn't lose anybody super big of note. Rob Havenstein, the right tackle, he retired. He was benched or, you know, didn't start after week seven, either because of injury or poor play. And he's gone. So he's retired. They go out. They're going to have a new right tackle, but it'll be the guy that started the majority of games from last year. So I don't know if you can even consider it a new tackle, but they lose Rob Havenstein, Kobe Durant. I believe he went to the Cowboys. Jared Verse is with the Browns. They lose Akello Witherspoon and Tutu Atwell. So, you know, if you were looking at one of those scales with one on each side, you know, I think the scale is outweighed by gains more than losses in a major way. So a team that was really, really good last year goes out, has a really, really good offseason, and are expected to be really, really good. So why are they expected to be so good? Well, I think it does start with Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford, and the offense. And I know this is not breaking news to anybody that listens to the pod, but the Rams last year were, if not the Cowboys, the Rams were probably the best offense in the NFL. They were top five in points per drive, percentage of drives that end in a touchdown, percentage of drives that end in a punt in terms of low. They did not punt it a lot. They were among the lowest, bottom five, in three and out percentage. So they went three and out almost less than almost every other team. Top five in reaching the red zone per drive and yards per drive. So the yards per drive thing, I think, is not a stat we talk about a lot, but I do think it is a stat that's indicative of how your offense is performing, right? If you are consistently getting 40 yards, 45 yards on a drive, then your offense is really humming. Maybe you're not scoring on every possession. Maybe you're not, you know, you miss a field goal, you go for in the red zone, whatever, but they move the ball better than any team in the NFL, really, besides maybe the Cowboys. So just an elite offense. They add Cliff Kingsbury as an assistant head coach. I actually don't know if I love that. I can't decide if that's like a bad kind of vibe signing. He's not been great everywhere he's been in the NFL. He had one good year in Washington that immediately tanked last year. We'll see how tricky, you know, I don't think he's in there to make major changes. And I think Sean McVay clearly will have the say in what happens. But I don't know if adding him is a good thing or not. You can paint it as a good thing, a fresh mind, fresh eyes, something, frankly, I thought the Eagles could have used last year. But at the end of the day, it is Sean McVay's offense. And you wonder if Kingsbury is going to maybe, you know, try to force his fingerprints on the team. And that might not be a good thing. And then they promote Nate Shieldhouse to offensive coordinator. If you remember him from the Eagles offensive coordinator search, he ends up obviously not taking the Eagles job. He gets promoted, gets to keep living in LA and gets to oversee maybe the best offense in the NFL. So last year, they're an elite offense. They do pretty much whatever they want, except score in the red zone, which we'll get into in a second. But the offense, they're bringing back all 11 starting players. Davante Adams, Puka Nacua, Kyren Williams, really good stable of tight ends. Obviously, Matthew Stafford. And then an offensive line that was really good last year. The Rams only allowed 23 sacks all season. That was tied for the fewest in the NFL. Stafford, fourth lowest pressure rate and second best sack per pressure rate. So he was just hardly ever pressured. Now, how are they able to do that with an offensive line that was 20th in pass blocking, according to Pro Football Focus, switch their right tackle midway through the year? Well, they were able to do it because Stafford got rid of the ball. They truly coached around, not saying a bad offensive line, like they have talented offensive linemen, but I think the reason they were such a good offensive line was because of Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay, more so than having elite talent on the offensive line. So when Stafford's a fifth fastest time to throw in the NFL, it's going to make your offensive line look good. On the flip side of that, Jalen Hurts was 21st last year, right? And I think that's why sometimes you hear about the offensive linemen maybe being frustrated with Jalen, is because they look bad because Jalen holds onto the ball. Now, sometimes Jalen makes them look good, right? Jalen avoids pressure and that type of stuff. But the Rams' plan on offense is pretty simple. And it's frankly what the Eagles are going to want to do. Stafford gets rid of the ball quickly. And the reason they plan it up that way is because, A, you always want to get rid of the ball quickly. It makes your offense better. You're getting rid of the ball. Things are moving on time, all that. But also, Stafford's old, right? Oldest probably starting quarterback in the NFL besides Aaron Rodgers. Was dealing with back issues last year in camp. Didn't look like he was maybe even going to start the season. He ends up playing all the games. They're a very, very healthy team in 2025. I think Warren Sharp had him as the 10th healthiest team in the NFL. So going into a year where there were a lot of injury concerns, predominantly around Stafford, they were able to remain a healthy team because Stafford got rid of the ball quickly. So they're an offense that has really good receivers. They're an offense that gets rid of the ball quickly, which means they have good pass protection in that way. Like, you can have the best defensive line in the world. If the quarterback's getting rid of it quickly, it doesn't matter. And then they have a head coach and a quarterback in McVay and Stafford that I think are the best quarterback head coach duo currently in the NFL, really besides Kansas City. And even that's just off of resume, right? Like, right now, if I picked one going into the season, I would take Stafford and McVay over Reed and Mahomes. Now, comparing Stafford and McVay to Nick and Jalen's a little interesting, which we'll talk about towards the end of the pod. But yeah, I mean, the Rams have it all on offense. The only thing I think going into this season, if you're trying to slow the Rams down on offense, would be twofold. One, you jam their receivers, make Stafford hold on to the ball, you beat the offensive line, and if he's not getting rid of the ball quickly, you can get to him because he can't move much. And he is somebody that will put the ball in harm's way. He's definitely somebody that has been lucky when it comes to turnover-worthy plays versus actual turnovers. So Stafford, for sure, can be reckless with the ball, can also be great with the ball, but if you can make him hold on to it for even that extra second and a half, things really change in what you can do against the Rams offense. So that's the key to kind of slowing them down. You look at the Eagles, well set up to do that, right? Tariq Woolen, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, three corners that can really play press man, that can get up on the line. So they match up well in that way. But yeah, the Rams on offense, really just an elite unit, and didn't lose any people. There's no reason to think that they will be worse this year than they were last year. Yeah. So the one thing that has hurt the Rams, though, and I think is, you know, kind of a slight on McVay, is they're not an outstanding red zone offense. Now, they're not bad in the red zone. They were seventh in the league last year in the red zone. They score a ton of points. They get to the red zone a lot. And part of the reason their percentage of scoring in the red zone is low is because they get there a lot, right? So there's just more trips for them. But one thing that has hurt them in the postseason is the red zone. So last year they lose to the Seahawks. They go 2-for-3 in the red zone. So that's not bad. But the year before against the Eagles, they're 2-for-5. The year before that, when they lose to the Lions, they're 0-for-3. So you add that up, and McVay's offense in the playoffs has gone 4-of-11 in the red zone. So you can move the ball up and down the field all you want. When it comes down into the red zone, they've not been very good. So that is the one thing I think with the Rams, if you look on offense, like what could hold them back. So first, I think would be health. They were very healthy. Maybe Stafford gets hurt. Two would be Stafford does have some luck in terms of turnover worthy plays. So maybe that starts to not break his way this year. And then third would be the red zone offense. They're just not an offense that really produces at a high rate when they really need to, right? Like, their season ended in the red zone against Seattle. Their season ended in the red zone against the Eagles. And then obviously against the Lions in 2023, they cost themselves a ton of points in a close loss in Detroit. So still going into the year, there's not many offenses you would rather have over the Rams. You know, you could, again, debate the Cowboys, but they have an elite offense. Now, one thing to watch with their offense is the tight end heavy packages that they use. And we did a pod probably about a month ago, really breaking down how the Rams are trendsetters when it comes to using two tight end sets, three tight end sets. They get creative with them. They have their tight end split out wide. They have them go deep. They have them stay in and block. And then we talked earlier this week on the pod about how the Rams are one of the toughest teams in the league to decipher when Matthew Stafford's under center, right? Is it a run? Is it a pass? So they're the master of disguise on offense. They have multiple tight ends. They could still be sending them deep. They could run. They could be run blocking. They could be throwing it from under center. They could be running it from under center. And last year, they were one of the teams that used heavy tight end sets all the time. So my question with the Rams is not really, will they do it again? Because they probably will use a lot of multiple tight ends. They took Max Clair in the second round. My question with the Rams is, what's next, right? Like, we as an Eagles pod are talking about how the Eagles are going to try to copy some of the stuff the Rams do. The Rams are going to be trendsetters, and that's why they have a great offense. And it's why I'm not in love with the idea of just trying to copy and paste an offense from LA. And I know the Eagles are not going to do that exactly, but you know, that's kind of what they want to try to do. So my question is, what's next on offense? What's the next innovation they're going to use? Are they going to continue to go tight end heavy? Again, after adding Max Clair, might you see Ty Simpson out on the field for certain plays? Do they get more creative with Puka, even though they've already been pretty creative in how they use him? So ultimately, with the Rams, it's what's next? What will the league have to adjust to next? Can they stay healthy? And do they score in the red zone? And if they do, they'll probably be the best team in the league again. If you look, and we'll talk about this on the other side, they lost a lot of one-score games. They could easily add 2 to 3 wins to what was already a very good team last year. They could do it strictly based off the talent they added, but they could also do it based off of getting things to bounce their way. So the Rams offense, pretty good. Pretty, pretty good. Well, here's the bad news for the rest of the NFC. The defense is also very good. So on the other side, we'll talk about the defense, and then we'll talk about reasons to believe the Eagles could either finish ahead of the Rams or beat them when it counts. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. So let's talk about the other side of the ball, the two other sides of the ball, really, with the Los Angeles Rams. Now, the bad news for the NFC is the Rams' defense is extremely good. Part of that is they have a great offense. Much like I said, when the Eagles' offense is really good, it helps their defense out. They're not turning the ball over. They're not getting put in tough situations. The Rams' defense was in really good situations a lot. Again, the Rams moved the ball down the field more than any other team on their drives. That means the Rams' defense normally, when they took the field, was doing it with the offense they're going up against, having a long field to score against. But regardless, the Rams' defense was very, very good. They were top 10 in points per drive, touchdowns allowed per drive, turnovers forced per drive. And that was really a large part of how they made plays on defense. They were really good at forcing turnovers. They forced fumbles. They forced interceptions. So if you're an Eagles team preparing to play the Rams, probably good to focus on taking care of the ball, which is something the Eagles always do, but it definitely comes in handy against the Rams. So the Rams, very good defense, top 10 defense last year, not on the level of their offense, not on the level, in my opinion, of the Eagles defense. Those are like elite units. But the Rams defense, very good. They're bringing back 8 of 11 starters. And then obviously two of those new starters, Myles Garrett and Trent McDuffie, you'll sacrifice a little bit of continuity to bring those two guys in. So the Myles Garrett trade, let's talk about it for a second. Obviously, they pay a hefty price to get Myles Garrett. And it's interesting, like you add Myles Garrett to the roster, and obviously they're a better roster with Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett might be the best player in the NFL if you take away positional importance. Even with positional importance, he's probably up there because an edge is really, really important. But Jared Verse was really good too. Like, he's not Myles Garrett for sure, but Jared Verse is also very good. So I think you go from like an 8 out of 10 as an edge rusher to like an 11 out of 10, right? You add like an elite player. But losing Jared Verse is no small deal. It's no small deal either. Still very good defensive line, really good pass rushing defensive tackles, really good set of edges now, especially with Myles Garrett. So this is a win now move. And I do think Myles Garrett's going to be interesting because he's never really played meaningful football in his career. So we'll see how he responds to that. But my guess is you are going to see an ultra motivated Myles Garrett. I think he could have the best season of his career, potentially. With the talent around him, the situations he'll get put in, the Rams are going to be up big on teams, which means he's going to have more chances to rush the passer. And this will probably be the most important year of his career in terms of just eyeballs on him, right? So I think Myles Garrett will be awesome for him. We'll see if Aaron Donald comes back. It seems like he will. My guess is he'll play awesome if he does. Guys like him, they're not coming back unless they feel they can do it. So the Rams defensive line could be the best defensive line in football, if not certainly on the short list. And then you add Trent McDuffie. So I think Trent McDuffie is not only an elite corner, I think he is like an elite vibesman. You add Trent, like when I think of those Chiefs defenses and how tough they were and playing in the cold in Kansas City, I think of Trent McDuffie. Plays inside, plays outside, undersized, but plays big. Trash talker, like not afraid of guarding a team's number one. I think if there's anything the Rams lacked, it was toughness a little, right? Like not that they were a soft defense, but they lacked toughness. I think Trent McDuffie brings that to them. So they had two elite players on defense. They bring back the same defensive coordinator, Chris Shula. I believe this will be his third or fourth year as their defensive coordinator, an offense that should put the defense in good situations. And any offense is going to have trouble scoring on the Rams defense. They're just that good. So elite offense, probably the number one offense in the league. Defense that could be top five after being top 10 last year. Well, how do you beat the Rams? Well, not many weeks we say this when we talk about a team, but they do it on special teams. The Rams special teams were a major, major issue last year. They arguably had the worst special teams in the entire NFL. That's based off of EPA. Their field goal rate of 78% was 28th. They made four, this is according to Warren Sharp, they made 3.4 fewer field goals than expected, which ranked 28th, and their extra point rate of 95.4% ranked 23rd. So they missed a ton of kicks, which obviously cost them, especially in close games. So how did it cost them? Well, in games decided by a field goal or less, the margin where a single kick swings everything, obviously, they were 1-4. That was 26. Now, even without doing work to their special teams, you're probably going to win a higher percentage of those games just because luck swings your way from one season to the next. Teams that win a high percentage of one score games often regress to the mean the following year. So they were 1-4 in those games. They were 0-2 in overtime. And then in one score games, so this is not just field goals, they were 4-5, which was 19%. So they lost a lot of close games. And frankly, I think Sean McVay deserves some blame for that, right? Like, yes, kicking matters, field position matters, and those are special team things, but also decision-making matters. And I think that's a bit of a knock on McVay. So they should win more games simply by luck and just making more kicks. Now, why do they think they could make more kicks or be a better unit? Well, they bring in a new special team coach, Bubba Ventrone, who, you know, you read all the articles about him preparing for this and viewed as one of the best special teams coordinators in the league. I don't know why I said league like that. Viewed as one of the best special teams coordinators in the league. They signed a veteran long snapper. So they feel good about the kicker and the punter, but they think the long snapper helps. They bring in a new special teams coordinator. Remember the Eagles, right? Beat them because of a mistake on special teams. So special teams, if they can just be an average special team and not like dead last, I think you're looking at maybe 15 wins for them. They had 12 wins last year. You go 2-3 or three, you know, maybe 3-2 in those field goal games. That's two more wins. You're at 14. You win one more of those one score games where they were 4-5. So, you know, it could swing either way, I guess. But let's say they go 6-3 or whatever, right? I think the Rams could easily be a 15-win team just based off the roster. Elite offense, elite defense, and a special teams unit that while bad, they have made attempts to correct. And we'll see if that happens. If they have a bad special teams unit again, that'll certainly hurt them. But one reason why they might not get to 15 wins is they got a really, really tough schedule. Part of that is playing in the NFC West where they have the Niners and the Seahawks. I mean, you could argue the three best teams in the NFC are all in the NFC West, which is crazy because I feel like for so many years of me covering the Eagles, the NFC West was hot trash, right? Now it's kind of the NFC South that I think would hold the mantle as the worst division in the conference. But they have a really tough schedule. It's the fifth toughest schedule in the NFL. They have one of the worst schedules in the league in terms of rest advantage, you know, in terms of travel, in terms of going into a year or going into a week where that team's coming off a bye, those type of things. And they have a really tough start to the schedule. They begin against the Niners in Australia. Very tough game, plus the travel. They get a layup somewhat at home next week, the following week, in week two with the Giants. Now, the Giants, who knows, right? New head coach, you never know, but certainly the easiest of their first games. So after that, they go to Denver, to Philadelphia, and to Buffalo. So if you're the NFL, you got to hope they go 3-2 in this stretch, right? You go 2-2 in those four tough games, Niners, Broncos, Eagles, Buffalo, and you beat the Giants. Like, I think that's the Rams' path to the first five games. If they go 4-1 or 5-0 in this, they legit could go undefeated, barring injury. So one thing, though, to hope if you're an NFC team like the Eagles is the NFC West beats up on each other. The Eagles, not in an easy division by any stretch, but in a division easier than the NFC West, where maybe 13 wins get you the number one seed. So one thing with the Rams is definitely the schedule. They have a really, really tough schedule, really, really tough division. It's going to be hard to come out of that with a large amount of wins. But look, they could do it. Like, they absolutely have the team to do it. And then there's this. And I decided to put this last because it's not really a Rams preview thing, but it is noteworthy. We agree, I'm speaking for you, but I feel safe doing it, that the NFC runs through the Rams, right? Like, and there's a good chance if the Eagles play the Rams in the playoffs, maybe not good, maybe that's strong, but if the Eagles play the Rams in the playoffs, maybe it's in LA. Maybe they get them in Philly because the Eagles win more games and the Rams are, you know, just kind of beat up by going through a tough schedule. But here's the truth. If there is one team in the NFC that can point to and go, we have the Rams number, it's the Eagles. Sirianni, Jalen, and the Eagles are 4-0 versus Sean McVay. They beat them in 2023 handily, 23-14. They beat them in 2024 when Saquon ran for like 250 yards. They beat them in the playoffs. And then last year, look, maybe a bit of a fluke win because of special teams, but the special teams were bad, right? So that's on the Rams for not having better special teams. They win on that Jordan Davis blocked kick. But the Eagles and Sirianni and Jalen are 4-0 versus McVay. So while I think the Rams, roster, team, all that is a level above the Eagles, I think the Rams, if we want to say they're a 10 out of 10, I think the Eagles are like an 8 out of 10, 8.5 out of 10. Like, I think the Rams are considerably better on offense. I think the Eagles are better on defense, but the Rams have a really good defense. It's not like the Eagles have an elite special teams. They have a better special teams than the Rams do, but the Eagles' special teams is also a question going into the year. So it really comes down to, like, head-to-head, because there's a decent chance. Look, they'll play each other in Week 4 in Philadelphia, and that could be huge for the number one seed. But also, they could play in the playoffs. They did it 2 years ago, right? So I think the Eagles have had their number. And I think part of it is because the Eagles have a really good red zone defense, and the Eagles are really good at winning close games with situational football. And that's something Sean McVay has not been good at in his career. So to kind of wrap it up, I view the Rams as better than the Eagles. And I think, you know, if you're looking at just like ranking teams, the Rams are definitely better. I think the Rams should have better odds to win the Super Bowl. But I think only the Eagles can look at it and go, we kind of have their number. So there's some hope in terms of why maybe the Rams are not a team that the Eagles can't get past. And instead, maybe they are a team the Eagles could definitely get past if they face them in the playoffs. All right, that'll do it for today's Daily Go Bird. Excited to preview the rest of these teams. As much as I love talking about the Eagles, we'll be doing that a lot. It's always fun to take a look at the teams around the league. So go out, enjoy your day. Until next time, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
The intense July heat is here and Philadelphia humidity is peaking. Don't wait for your energy bills to skyrocket before realizing your windows are failing. Call the pros at Window Nation now. Right now, you can get 50% off all window styles plus zero down payment and no payments or interest for 2 years. Get the energy efficient windows from Window Nation installed in 1 day or less without the hassle. Beat the heat, protect your home, and start saving today. Schedule your fast free consultation now at Window Nation.com.